For the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show podcast. So we've had a bank holiday, quite possibly the end of the summer, and we're already into the month of September. So you would think that the squad should be beginning to find its feet. Then, bam! Injury, work commitments, my grandma's birthday, and availability is up the spout. Yes, I'm Tim Fuel, and with Caroline Barker committed elsewhere this week, Swampy standing on a tree stump in a remote field trying to get a signal somewhere, and Dave Watters belatedly helping his wife celebrating their wedding anniversary, whilst Dave Anderson is frantically fixing a van somewhere in West London, it's down to me as a utility player to step in and to try and make sense of the world of non-league this week. Thankfully, I'm not alone, as I do have some excellent guests lined up to keep it all bubbling along. I hope you enjoy the ride. Okay, so a new month, the new manager for some, and a whole set of new players for others. Thankfully, one thing remains constant in non-league football. It's the magic of the FA Cup. The magic that after two preliminary rounds reaches the first qualifying round this weekend. And just like the competition he savours, summarises and supports, we have our own Mr. Reliable, Phil Annetts at FA Cup Factfile on the line to tell us what the competition has in store for us. Good evening, Phil.
Good evening, Tim. How are you?
Well, it's an interesting evening, I have to say. So the last round, any big surprises? I know there's some big score lines.
Well, there wasn't as big a score line as in the previous round, but there were some big scorers like Thamesmead Town did a grand job scoring 8 goals for the first time, winning 8-0 in their match. They'd only ever scored 4 goals before in a FA Cup game, so that was pretty impressive.
And one that stood out for me was City of Liverpool. I think they beat Prescott Cables 8-2 in a replay. How can you have a close game and then go like that in a replay?
Yeah, it has happened before several times. And it's not the biggest ever win in a replay. That happened a long time ago, double figures. But I can't remember exactly the scoreline. But they're having a fantastic debut season. The last standing debut club in the competition. So there's 23, I think, started out. So City, Liverpool still going. And they're now at home to Nantwich on Friday night, I think. And it should be a good game as well.
Yeah, and an extra 72 clubs coming in from Step 3. That's the Isthmian, Southern and Northern Premiers. So there's 116 ties with those winners from the last round. It's still a big weekend, isn't it?
Oh, it's massive. It's very hard to stay on top of it all. But it's fantastic. We love all these FA Cup games. But yeah, lots going on. There's no top flight football this weekend, so anyone who normally follows those teams will bound to have an FA Cup match on their doorstep and should go along and have a look at what it all is all about at this stage.
It is. I think it's important. We'll hopefully chat a bit more about non-league day coming up a little bit later, but it's an important weekend for fans of non-league. If you've got a few mates that are football fans and wouldn't normally sort of go down to the local club, you know, drag them along. It's FA Cup. It's a special... A special affiliation for any football fan, isn't it?
It is, and it's a fantastic atmosphere, and you normally get bigger crowds than they usually do at these games, and they know that a victory sees them through to another chance, and it's all on this game, and if they lose, they know they're out, so there's a lot riding for it on the pitch, and that sort of transcends across to the fans and throughout the club as well, makes it a very special game.
And so for you, are there any big standout ties out of those 116?
Yeah, there's quite a few big ties. I mean, I'm going to what I call a big clash between Farnborough and Salisbury on Saturday, so I expect that to be a great game. But there's a couple of revenge games going on, a couple of ties where the clubs met last season, and obviously the defeated team will be looking to try and get their own back this year. So we've got Marlow travelling to Beaconsfield. They went out on penalties to them last season. And Yaxley are hosting Down Town again, as we did last year. Last year it was a 4-4 draw, so more of the same on that game. That'd be fantastic.
And you obviously go to a number of games in the earlier rounds as well. Are you welcomed at those grounds, or maybe if they've lost, maybe you're not going to be welcome back? But does your reputation precede you?
Luckily, I have a checkered form in terms of winning and losing for the home side. But the one thing that is constant is that every single home club welcomes me as if I've been a long-standing fan of the club. And it's wonderful to be able to experience the club, meet all the volunteers, get to talk to the chairman and the managers and all the people helping out at the club, and really find out what makes them tick, what makes them want to drive the club forward, and why they get involved. And it's just fantastic to have that kind of access and that kind of conversation with people while I'm there in the day.
One of the wonders of non-league as well. And we all know it's not about the money, but I mean, it really can make a difference, this competition, to a club's fortunes, can't it?
Yes, indeed. I mean, there's, I think, £2,500 to £3,000 in this round. I'm not sure exactly how much it is, but there's not many games they play in a season where they'll earn that much if they win on a particular game. And if they continue going through, as some of these teams have started back in the extra Premier round, it all adds up and accumulates to quite a sizable prize money. So there's every incentive to keep going in the competition for as long as possible, not just for the pride of winning, but also financially. It can set some clubs up for years to come.
Yeah, there's the gates, the sales, you know, but potentially you dragging in those fans for the rest of the season as well if you have a decent cup run. There's also the BBC showing these games on the TV. Have you had any feedback at all or heard anything about how that coverage has been going live on the web?
I only saw one so far. I was actually at the first game at Liverpool and Munich. The feedback, though, I did speak some, and all of the feedback I received from that first game and what I saw in the second game was that they've done an excellent job, really showing non-league football as it is. Single camera, just focusing on the game and letting the game speak for itself. It wasn't treated as if it was a sideshow. People's jobs weren't mentioned. It was just about 11 players against 11 players, and it's really done well. It's a shame, actually, because after doing all that great work for the BBC, they've now reverted to type, and for the next round, they've decided to go where the money is, which is typical of what they do when they get to the third round of the FA Cup. Nothing against Billericay Town, but it does seem a shame that they're going to be showing a club that is atypical of non-league rather than typical of non-league.
Yeah, it does look like they've written the headlines already, possibly, for that one, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, yes.
Yeah, the local to me, one of the games, and the journalist in me loves this one. It's Porchester against Dorchester.
Yes, I love those rhyming names. We've got Ossett against Consett is another one. But yeah, it's a mismatch in terms of levels, but the lower league team are at home, so it's an opportunity for an FA Cup upset. So you know, it should hopefully be a good game for both sides. There are a couple of Step 6 clubs, in fact, three of them who are playing at Step 3. Which is the same as an EFL 2 team going off to a Premiership side. So good luck to Potton United, Grimsby Borough and Hinkley in their endeavours against clubs three levels above them.
Yeah, and Potton, I think, already taken a scalp of AFC Dunstable last round, I remember. So, maybe they're the side that are going to be grabbing all the headlines as the season goes on.
They're one of many that only the shout to do so. I saw them at that game and... whilst the sending off of the possible guide didn't make a difference, they certainly never looked troubled beyond that point and could easily give us a bit of a scare. I think that one of the games I would have liked to have gone to if I'd had an opportunity was Holman versus Matlock Town. That sounds like a new club versus an old established club. Step 5 versus Step 3. It's got everything about it that makes it for a classic FA Cup tie-in. Who knows how that one might end up.
Classic FA Cup ties. They're born and bred in non-league football, though, aren't they? All those classic ones that people remember, it's always a non-league club that's been involved in those. So hopefully some more to come.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, those are the ones you remember. You remember the big scalps getting taken by the small guys, shown year after year every time the FA Cup comes round to the third round. So hopefully there'll be another Westfield and another Lincoln United and Sutton United. Lincoln City and Sutton United. Throughout this season as well, to keep that interest going for non-league as long as possible.
Brilliant stuff. And as ever, there's some even more fantastic stats available. Where can they find out more about all your fantastic work, Phil?
Well, of course, they can follow me on Twitter at FA Cup Fact File, and I run a little blog on facupfactfile.wordpress.com. So either of those two will give them loads and loads of information about what's going on.
Thank you very much, Phil. Thank you again for your time and your insight, and we look forward to speaking to you later on this season and seeing who will be the club that will be grabbing the headlines and hopefully making their way to the first round, second round, maybe in the third round as well. Thank you.
Cheers, Tim. Been a pleasure. Thanks.
Okay, so there's very few 100% records left in the world of non-league football, but one that does still exist is that of Walton Casuals in the Bostic South. 4 wins from 4, and to tell us more is chairman and stalwart of the club and former Fulham, West Ham and Maidenhead United defender Tony Gow. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening. Nice to speak to you. From a winning point of view, for the first time in a long time.
Indeed, a very nice start. Did you expect that? Was it a good pre-season?
Well, not really, because my son Anthony, who's the manager, I went and saw a couple of the pre-season friendlies, and I said to him I was a little bit worried. But about 2 weeks before the pre-season was ending, coming into the first game, we acquired a bunch of young players, which were like a breath of fresh air. So they came on board, and all of a sudden, from an average age which was quite high up there, our average age of our team now is around 21, 22, which in non-league's quite unheard of, really, because normally it's old experienced heads about. And we've now got a young team full of energy, which have gained, obviously, four wins in the first four league games and won a one cup game as well, which we got through. So one FA Cup qualifying game. So we've won 5 out of 5, but I'm under no illusions. They're going to trip up, but they will trip up in the manner that we want them to do, because we've got good young players and we can put up with mistakes.
It's a much better feeling, isn't it, going into September when you've got those wins under your belt, certainly in the league, and you can sort of, you know, focus. You've got the FA Cup this weekend away to Herne Bay.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to that one, so I'm pleased to say, because of my Sky Sports news and Sky Sports commentating duties. I'm normally commentating at the weekend, but being an international weekend, I can actually go and get to watch a game. I watched the Mulvey League game last week, which I was very impressed with. 2 games in 3 days is never easy for young lads, but they cope with that well on what was a very grassy, long grass pitch, which slowed us down a bit. But looking forward to the Herne Bay game, because we've had good reports from them being a good young side as well. And being an FA Cup game, it's got a little bit of a special edge to it as well. So really looking forward to the game. And it's sometimes it's a welcome relief from doing Premier League football all the time.
Well, it must be nice to smell that fresh air. That's the one thing about non-league. You get so close to the pitch, you can smell the grass, can't you?
Exactly, you know, and also it's nice to be able to go and see the players after the game and my son and the rest of his management team and just have a chat and have an old-fashioned pint, which non-league football is all about.
And how do you manage being chairman with all those other football commitments? Do you have to get, like, feedback from other people? And
well, it's really difficult, but the role I see myself in as chairman is all to do with a new stadium, which I've been so busy on for the last 7 years. And now we're moving into that for our first game, September the 9th, Saturday week against Horsham, which is like an £18 million development. And I'm so pleased with it. It's not £18 million of our own, I might add, but it's a council-owned stadium. But in partnership with Elmbridge Borough Council, we've acquired it and we're really looking forward to it. It's a 3G pitch, but another 3G training pitch to go with it, a 350-seater stand, and obviously 3 grass pitches. So not only is the first team, which is, as chairman of the football club, I'm all about, but it's our youth section, which is, I sometimes think, more important. And we're about 500 strong now. We've got about 45 different teams in that. So I'm pretty proud of that.
So that, I mean, I've looked at some of, I've seen some of the pictures, and I've followed for a while because to see this complex being built, the Waterside Stadium. I mean, it must have made it a bit easier to bring some players in this season as well, isn't it? With that sort of like carrot to dangle in front of them.
Well, yeah, well, they ain't actually seen it. They're a bit like yourself. All they've seen is pictures. So having gone down there last week, I was quite excited by it, putting a little bit of an identity to the stadium as well. But I'm sure they'll be well pleased with it. But the 3G pitch is going to be good. We managed to ground share last year with Whiteleaf on a 3G pitch. And we loved playing on it because it does enable you to play good, fast football. And I think that's what our team's all about this season as well.
Yeah, and is it 15 years you've been at the club now, sort of behind the scenes?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I think it's about the last 5 or 6 as chairman, but in effect, I was sort of doing that role anyway. But all that means for chairman is that you listen to everyone's moans and groans, and you raise all the money that subsidises the football club, and you're responsible for it. So I think when people say, oh yeah, I'm chairman of this, chairman of that, just think of all the money you can have with it. It's a thankless task at times, but a fulfilling one in another manner, because when you see the smiles on kids' faces when they're playing football, that's what does it for you.
Well, I think to be a chairman, you've got to have a very thick skin. It is a thankless task, as you say, but you know, you've had ups and downs. I recall a relegation, don't want to remind you too much about that one, but you've been slow and very steady progress on the field, and sort of, you know, just building that club up. And is promotion or playoffs maybe in the on the radar this season?
Oh, you know, I think so, but I think logic will tell you that once you start doing well, although we've won 4 games in the league, obviously all the bigger clubs start coming to poach your players. So we're not a football club that gives out contracts. So we're open to that. But what I would say to all these young players, and I do say it, that, you know, we had 3 players who went on and bettered themselves last season. They've gone and get some serious money in our league. And one even went on to go and join Stoke City. So we're about developing young footballers as much as the results. So whilst the results is good at the moment, what I'm proud of with my son, who's manager, and had an academy upbringing because he worked at Millwall for 5 years, that's why he's getting some of these players to come to us that have been let go by academies and all that, because he's been sort of coaching them at a younger age, and they identify with him and identify with him as a manager who lets them play football, because some of the managers don't, do they? They just kind of want to get it up there at all costs and put it in the mixer, so to speak. But he wants to play football and he wants to play it the right way.
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? Life's all about relationships, as I'm sure you probably found. But is it, that's probably something that do you sort of see that as a disparity between the Premier League that you, you talk about and do punditry on week in, week out, and the non-league? You know, non-league's so full of camaraderie, and the Premier League is all about number one, really, and, you know, individuals rather than the team effort.
It's sad, really, because it's a world apart, and I just can't for the life of me see why some of the money of the richest from the Premier League and the leagues just below it doesn't filter down to non-league, because without one, you can't have the other. And it's just a shame that we and all the other clubs, I'm not just saying us, are constantly struggling to, you know, have facilities, decent facilities, make them better, make pitches better so they can play better football, get kit and equipment. And also, in the end, you have to give a few expenses to the lads for them to get by. So it's a constant worry. So how some of that money doesn't filter down, because it is a... players are getting some ludicrous wages at the moment. You just think, oh, blimey, I wish there was some kind of concession that the government would give so that they didn't get taxed on the wages, so that the money could get filtered down from the Premier League into the non-league. I'm sure there's a way if they thought about it, but it's so disheartening sometimes.
I think that's a conversation we've had lots of times on this show, and I fully agree. You know, you look at... said about you've got FA Cup this weekend. I mean, if you beat Herne Bay, or but you know, whoever wins this round, yeah, it gets £3,000 in prize money, which is a massive amount for clubs at your level. And then we've also got transfer deadline day, and £3,000. Well, I don't know. Is that
division two players' wages? I don't know. That's probably not enough for division two players' wages. No, entirely. I mean, okay, yeah, we're playing. We don't, when we're budgeting for the season, we don't budget for what we win in cups, FA Cup and FA Trophy, the only couple of trophies that do actually pay. But if it does come about, I think we had our best ever run last season, it's just a welcome relief, and it just takes a little bit of the edge off what we got to do as a chairman and a board to raise that kind of money. So it does come as a relief, but I would tend to put it back, rather than in players, into... you know, making our youth section run a bit stronger, and indeed, you know, helping us with a little bit better facilities in with the lads as well, because I think that's what it's all about. you start giving it to players and you become just look one of the rest, I think.
Yeah, it could become self-fulfilling, couldn't it? Now, you've spoken about your son being manager, and already week after week we talk about managerial changes. I mean, this week we've had Dorchester Town, Craig Legg has resigned, Colville Town, Steve Walker stepped down, Athersley Recreation, Wayne Thompson and Neville Hunt have departed, and Adam Lockwood at Guiseley, they're all going this week, you know, looking for new jobs. I guess you're happy with your manager, though, at the moment. How does that work, the dad-son relationship?
Oh, he gets a bit fraught at times, obviously, but, you know, I help him. But what I want him to do, and the same as what I said to him last season, look, I'll help you when you want me to help. Well, you want some advice, but I'm not going to keep offering it up because it becomes, oh, I told you so, that kind of situation. So you don't want to be a chairman who says that. At the same time, you don't want to be a dad who says that. So I tend to let him make his own mistakes. That tends to work out a little bit better for me, though, because I kind of think in my own mind, oh, I told him so. And I've got that lovely degree, that degree in hindsight. But I really want him to improve as a manager. So let him improve as a manager. I think I probably am one of the most understanding chairmen about. And I just know they're doing it for hardly anything anyway. They're doing it for shirt buttons, him and his assistants and physiotherapists. So anytime they have a little blip like they did last season, I'm there to help. And that's when they want my help a little bit more, when things are going badly rather than when they're going well. So they're going all okay at the moment, so we hardly talk.
You sound like the perfect chairman. Not
bad either, you know. But the good thing about him is he also played for the football club, and I think he had the second most appearances for the football club. So he cares. He cares about the football club. He's got a wonderful relationship with the family that run, Frank and Joseph Scanella, husband and wife team who run our youth section. So he's got a great relationship with them. Helps them out on the Sunday with a bit of coaching with their things. So he cares about the football club, so you can't have a better manager than that, really. So when things tend to go wrong, you've got a little bit more of a understanding arm rather than, you know, you're having a go at managers. And I never really do that anyway with the managers that we've had previously.
Well, it's great to hear a great chairman approach, but also, an ex-pro that's getting his hands dirty, because, there's... You've sort of gone under the radar for a long while there. You know, probably the guys that you work with closely on a Saturday probably know what you're up to. But, you know, it's not something that gets praised a lot. And, it'd be nice if some of those premiership...
No, we got a small band of people that help us. You know, out my board that work alongside me, and everyone's got a role. I think we've only got about five of us. And around, because we've been ground sharing for 2 years, hardly had any crowds, so... What we're trying to do is build up the fan base as well, which we want from our youth section, our kids, who we're allowing in free if they got the club shirt. So just the parents pay a few pennies to get in. So we want to build it up around the community. And I think everybody loses sight of what football's about. Even when we lose a game, I say to Anthony, look, don't worry. We've had about 50 or 60 kids watching us. It's all about the community, and it's all about the community and our football club getting stronger. And then kids growing up in that environment as well, because they want to look up to their senior players when they come to watch the football, and to Anthony, and maybe even a little bit that I do as well. So we've got a bit of a responsibility other than just managing and chairing a football club. It's a responsibility of the kids. I think we're quite rare.
Well, I think you're quite rare, but there are lots of other volunteers up and down the country that do so much for non-league.
Blimey.
Great to hear someone like you enthusing about the game at this level. Really appreciate your time, Tony, and wish you best of luck at the weekend and also for the rest of the league season.
Yeah, thanks. And you're exactly right about everyone in non-league, because that's the reason I do it, because those people that all help us and help all the other non-league clubs, they all do it for nothing. So it's exactly the reason I got involved, and you won't find a better environment for people to play football. Thank you very much.
Now, a club being put on the market is nothing unusual. However, new this week from Essex about a club in such a situation, and it was a little different. The South family are relinquishing control of Thurrock FC, the club Harry and Tommy South created as Purpley 32 years ago. The decision is due to the health of Chairman Tommy South in recent years, and he joins us on the line to explain some more. Good evening, Tommy.
Good evening, sir. You okay?
I'm good. Now, what about yourself? Stepping down for health reasons?
Yeah. Time to move on.
And now, you know, you're Mr. Thurrock. That must have been a very hard decision to take.
Yeah, but you've got to put yourself first sometimes. I've put Purfleet stroke Thurrock first for 32 years, and you have to take a decision, make a decision, and I've made a decision.
So was, is that a decision you've made as the season's got underway, or is it in the back of your mind over the summer?
Yeah, a little bit over the summer. I mean, but then when we got promoted, I think I thought we've got to carry it through. We've got to see it through, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, so many great memories. I remember vividly in the old Purfleet days, a very foggy Tuesday evening, walking down from the train station. It was like some sort of Victorian drama. And then I was set up in the stand, and it might as well have been because we couldn't see the ball through the mist. fantastic memories. And then there was your great FA Cup nights. I remember watching some of those on TV. But what's been your favourite memory?
Possibly what you just said, the two FA Cup games. First round proper, 2 years on the spin.
Yeah, I remember lots of buzz. And obviously, that was a few years back. And, having your great story of having started the club from scratch, a fairly new club in non-league terms, where we talk about 50-60 years, you know, that was a big story, wasn't it, back then?
Oh, it was a big story, but I've had some fantastic committee people, volunteers, sponsors. Without all them people, I couldn't get to where I was today.
Yeah, and so what are you going to miss the most then when you walk away at the end of the season?
I don't know. I haven't got a clue. Probably the buzz of football, but it's dying inside of me, really, because I don't think there's enough football people in football now. It's all changed. You must realise that as well, Tim. You know what I mean? Football's not like how it was 10, 15 years ago, was it?
It's a bit different, certainly. I've enjoyed coming in your boardroom over the years, but yeah, boardrooms aren't quite what they used to be. So, Are you going to literally, is it cutting all ties? So on a Saturday you'll be found, what, are you going to be doing crochet or, you know, going?
No, I'm not a shopping person. No, I leave that to my partner. She shops for England. But I'll probably go to a few games wherever local, wherever I lay my hat, really, because, you know, I haven't thought about moving yet. And obviously you've got to move somewhere. So, yeah, I hope it's not too far away, but you never know, do you?
Well, that hat you're going to lay, I hope it's going to be one of those, you know, bobble hats.
Proper
non-league style.
So,
any interested buyers yet, or is that you just...
My brother's dealing with it all, and there's been, we've had quite a few people interested. Yeah, so just got to watch your space.
And what if the season ends and nobody stepped forward? Are you going to be tempted, or you've made that decision?
That's you. No, I've made that decision. There'll be no more Tommy Souths at Thurrock Football Club.
So, what the last hurrah then? Is it March 31st? It's signing on deadline. Are you going to sign yourself up as a player or something? And...
No, I doubt it.
it's always an extra twist in the Tommy South tower. We all know that. Well, we wish you the best of luck, Tommy. And if retirement does beckon, we hope you're not going to be strangers to non-league, because what you've done at Purfleet, it's certainly, you know, some Hollywood movie directors would probably be interested in that story. So.
Yeah, they might do. I'm open to offers.
Well, if ever you need a journalist to sort of introduce one of the scenes, you know where to call.
No problems at all. Nice talking to you.
Thank you very much, Tommy. Best of luck for the season. Take care. Okay, so we move on. And whilst not having quite the history of the FA Cup, Non-League Day returns in a few weeks' time for its eighth consecutive season. To tell us more, old friend of the show, Mark Ruthers, who's the media officer for the whole shebang. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening. I hope you don't mean old in the sense of how old I am. But
you're much younger than me, mate. Don't worry. You're a non-league stalwart already, but you know you're still quite youth on your side. So Saturday the 7th of October, international weekend for some, non-league day for many more, we hope.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for clubs around the non-league pyramid to really entice supporters in who, you know, normally go to Premier League or Football League games, get them down, show them what the club's about, show them the unique things that each club has. You know, every club's different. Everyone's got their own unique characters involved. Showcase themselves and hopefully, again, you know, a big hit of new people coming through the gate. But even if you get an extra 100 on the gate and 10 of them come back week in, week out, that's a bonus. So it's a real chance for the clubs to really show what they're about.
I think even one might make the difference. And I think at my own club, the guy that's been doing the finance stuff, I think got enticed along. And once people are in and you've caught them, you can't let them go as a non-league club. That's yeah, I think he's been with us 15 odd years now.
Well, we've been in the game long enough to know that at this level, every penny counts. You know, and if you can take an opportunity like non-league day, obviously you want to go on a good FA Cup run, you want to make money that way, but you want something more long-lasting. And if you can get someone who becomes a staunch supporter of your club through something you've done on non-league day, no matter what it is, then the club's going to be better for it. And I think it's growing year on year. You know, it's getting more attention. Last year, I was down at Hitchin Town when they played Biggleswade United in the FA Cup, and there was a big crowd there, and there was loads of events on. It was pay what you want to get in. Money went to charity. Guillaume Balaguer was there, who was obviously involved at Biggleswade, and I believe lives in Hitchin as well, so has an involvement there as a support for them. So it was a great day, and I used to be involved. I used to be press officer there, and they always made a big deal of it. I think Kick It Out, you know, have been involved for a number of years now, so it is growing. And I hate to say it's a movement because it sounds really cheesy, but it does feel that way now. That's kind of the kind of style it's taken on.
Yeah, I remember when the founder of Non-League Day, James Doe, came to us with his idea for a Non-League Day. I think that's 2010. He was going to publicise it via social media, you know, the non-league network and all that. And you know, shows like ours, when we were on the BBC back then, we're going to help. And we did. And we all thought it was fantastic, but I never expected to grow like this.
No, I think, you know, last year when I was travelling down to Hitchin, I was watching on the way down, Sky Sports were doing stuff. And I went on Talk Sport as well to talk to one of my first heroes in Newcastle, I don't mind saying, Mickey Quinn, who was on there. But there was you know, a lot of different media outlets, not just the kind of non-league specialist ones. It was across the board. You know, the national papers got involved. It was great to see. And it's credit to James for how it's grown, because year on year, it does keep getting bigger. There's new things added all the time. There's the involvement of people like Kick It Out. And it's such a big event, and all the big non-league outlets, you know, the non-league paper, non-league daily, which I should give a plug to despite the fact I've left, yourselves on the non-league show, it's really pushing on and on. I can only see it getting bigger.
Yeah, and, you know, typical non-league as well. I mean, it's an event totally volunteer run. You know, what an initiative. You know, only in non-league, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the special events that people or clubs put on, football is about, you know, it's the I can't remember which club it was, you may remember because it was so funny that they were giving away free exit games and stuff like that, and people giving, you know, free entry to kids to get the next generation through. There's just so many little quirks that each club can offer on non-league day to get people through the gate.
Yeah, and again, very non-league. It's non-league giving forward as well, because I think partnering with Prostate Cancer UK again, trying to raise some funds as well. If people, you know, maybe haven't been involved before, maybe at clubs, fans, you know, fans can get their clubs involved. You know, what's the best way to get in contact and find out a bit more as to, you know, come up with some ideas?
Yeah, there's plenty of information on the website. There is also a match finder as well. So if you are a supporter of a Premier League or a Football League club, and you're interested in finding a game near you, you know, not everyone's got the knowledge of the local clubs. They are purely, I don't want to say in the bubble because that sounds terrible, but they are just involved in Premier League and everything that goes on with that. They can find out what local clubs have got around that will host non-league games. And there's a lot of details on the website. There's just so much going on there as well. As you say, the Prostate Cancer UK support has been vital. There'll be links to there. So that will be my first point of contact.
Okay, so it's www.nonleagueday.co.uk and I think Twitter at nonleagueday.uk. And obviously, you know, follow yourself, Mark, on Twitter. I think a new Twitter handle.
It is, yeah. Same account, but new handle. Sadly, left non-league daily. My position as editor last week to take up a position providing non-league content for three papers up here in the northeast. But I'm now down as Moxie Journal, I think it is. I'll still be doing much of the same stuff. I'll still be covering non-league across the country. But it's a lot of my focus is in the northeast with the thriving scene that we have up here.
A very thriving scene. And so non-league day back October the 7th. I'm sure we'll speak either to Mark or some of the others involved in non-league day before then as well. But make sure you've got it in your diary. Thanks again, Mark. Best of luck with the new job. And I hope to speak to you again soon.
Thank you.
And once again, time has got the better of us. This is the bit where I would normally thank my co-presenters, but I thank them at least in spirit and send big thanks to each of the phone guests that we had with us this week. And of course, to you, our loyal listeners, for bearing with me. Don't forget, you can get in touch throughout the week via Twitter at NonLeagueShow. Good luck to all those clubs in FA Cup action this week and the League Two. We will be back next week, hopefully with a bigger squad. And remember to tell your friends we are here on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, and Tune In Radio. Goodbye.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA.